Okay, so good morning to everyone. It's great to see you here in sunny California. I'm going to give you an update on our enterprise transformation initiatives. And let's start, first of all, and Ginny referenced this in her opening about the continuous transformation journey we are on. And that is exactly what it is. It doesn't end. We don't see an end to it. And so we will continuously transform ourselves. You see a little bit of these phases that we've gone through. We started out in terms of looking at sharing and partnering. Where can we standardize processes across our various businesses around the world? Then when we saw the global, explosion happening around the world, we said, let's take advantage of the skills, the talent, and the economics of these global economies. And we started to place our centers of excellence around these standardized processes just in those various global markets around the world. And that actually created a very unique platform. I would call it a differentiating competitive advantage upon which we can now continue to innovate as we look at going out further. And that innovation is going to take a lot of a view of being a smarter company ourselves, leveraging all the big data we have in this company, applying these very innovative advanced analytics, eating our own cooking here, and then making smarter business decisions. So again, we have a roadmap. It's a continuous transformation journey we are on, and I am very confident that we will deliver the $8 billion. Now, let me go a little bit deeper here. So take that $8 billion. It kind of splits up evenly, as Mark said, between a third, a third, a third. A third of it coming from shared services. And if you look at on your left, I guess, that bar chart there, you'll see in shared services alone, and these are traditional support functions, if you will, HR, IT, finance, we've gone from roughly a $16.8 billion of total spend down to $11 billion since 2005. We've seen that. But as you can see in that bigger bar chart there, we actually spend $80+ billion. And so we have a lot of opportunity yet ahead of us here. So shared services brings us about $2.5 billion end-to-end processes. These are processes that by definition cross the units and the functions. We'll talk more about these. Another $2.5 billion, and then integrated operations, $3 billion. The important point, 60%, I'll reinforce what Ginny and Mark both said, 60% of this gets reinvested into our growth initiatives, and 40% is taken to the bottom line. So let me go through each of those three categories, if you will, and give you another example, like I did last year, of what we're doing here. Shared services driving another $2.5 billion. A lot of you may say, God, can you really take any more out of that? And the answer is yes. Why? Not just by, cutting and trimming and shaving here, but by applying innovative approaches and techniques, AKA analytics, big data. So we are continuously doing this in the shared services. But there's another important point I want to make here that I think is, again, one of our competitive advantages and why we can continuously transform ourselves. And I see this when I speak with a lot of clients sharing our own story here. They talk about our governance model as being something that must be a differentiator. It's not just what are we doing and why, but it's how we do it. And this governance model, in my own experience here, has proven to be very, very successful. It starts with all of my colleagues here sitting in the front row, my SVP colleagues, because they're very much a part of the governance model. And they help the shared services specifically look at ensuring we are aligned to their business strategies and their financial objectives. So we're not just a think tank coming up with kind of creative new ideas. It has to be aligned with the business strategy and the financial objectives. And we have leaders, global functional leaders of each of these shared services who have clear accountability and clear responsibility to deliver to those specific objectives there. These are the eight shared services there. And I'm going to give you an example of one of them in finance. And you heard a little bit about this from Mark, Finance 2.0. The implication there is that this is, again, this continuous transformation, but it's a two-pronged approach as that team continuously looks to bring more and more value to the business. The first one is around process efficiency. transforming processes. They have four global centers of excellence in this GIE model, in Bratislava, in KL, in Bangalore, and in Rochester. And they look at how do they continuously standardize processes while still maintaining strong controls and maintaining strong risk mitigation capabilities, but really driving efficiency. And then what that does is it helps to free up some of the resources to really provide those decision support strategic consultative skills, if you will, to the business. Applying analytics with all the data they've been collecting in order to provide better insight to the business leaders to make better decisions day in and day out. And not just, you know, over time, but real-time decision support. So two examples. Mark touched on these very quickly here. One is this automated spend headcount forecasts. As he said, we used to spot check randomly expense accounts. Now we virtually look at all of those expense accounts. 90% of it is done automatically. And these alerts that doesn't make sense pop up. And we can start to look at how do we, you know, how do we keep our costs and expense in control and better forecast where we're going to end the period of those. We've also seen a 25% improvement in actually the reporting accuracy. All automated. We've got data. We're collecting it. We're instrumented. And we're able to apply the analytics to it. Predicting country financial risk. We're in lots of countries around the world. And we are looking at about 100 different metrics, internal, external metrics, around four specific risk areas, things like political instability, financial payments, liquidity, economic realities. We look at all of these. We've created, again, a model. But this model not just looks at what has historically happened, it starts to predict. And in fact, we have applied the model most recently where we had a 9-month head start predicting what was going to happen in a particular growth market given all of these risk factors, and we were able to take action 9 months in advance that significantly lowered the financial exposure in that particular country. And we provide that capability to all of our countries, especially in the growth markets. And you're going to hear more about the growth markets from my friend Bruno over here shortly. So again, eat our own cooking. We use a lot of the same software that we are out there selling, things like SPSS or Cognos. And we are providing very advanced insight, predictive and prescriptive insight to make better business decisions. Okay. End-to-end process. This is the second major category here. So these are the end-to-end processes, things like opportunity to order, order to cash, procure to pay, that by definition cut across businesses and the functions. A little bit more on the management system here, because again, I think this is one of our key differentiators. So what we have done is the SVPs have chosen a specific senior leader, someone who's in our top 350 executives around the world. They actually are the enterprise process owner for these end-to-end processes. They are closer to the action. They understand what's going on, so they bring a very pragmatic approach to how we are transforming those processes. And again, very disciplined, rigorous business cases where we have metrics, both process metrics as well as financial metrics. We're measuring them and reviewing them on a quarterly cadence. We see where we're kind of, you know, needing to get ourselves better aligned again or how we're progressing. It's not just, you know, okay, trust us, we'll do it. Rigorous management measurement, senior leaders who have the capability, the credibility in the businesses, and are held accountable to delivering the results. Now, we have about 8 of them here as well. Let me take you a little deeper on one of them, service product transformation, SPT as we call it. Now, you've heard us talk about in the past what we've done in our integrated supply chain around hardware procurement, parts and different hardware pieces, if you will, where we have completely optimized that supplier and purchasing chain, driven a lot of productivity in that space. But now we're applying the same capability, though, to services. Because if you look at the services and our client solutions in particular, we procure a lot of hardware and software for our client solutions. In fact, $6 billion worth, about nearly 5,000 suppliers, and 3 million catalog items last year alone. So what are we doing here? So if we can, very early, when we're actually designing a client solution, not just look at, you know, we've got to order something and, okay, approve it and then, you know, pay the bill there, but actually influence the design of the solution. And again, here too, we have analytics, where we can now have a validated pipeline of renewable decisions that are coming up in those solutions, and we can make a decision. Do we renegotiate? Do we replace the product? Do we reuse another existing product? We have a lot of options now that we can make ahead of time that actually drives our cost down in that area. And that's primarily for client solutions. And 92% of the spend there is in client solutions, but we also include in this our employee internal spend. Again, as we understand now, every license we have of every piece of software out there, we know when we can reuse that if somebody else needs a license. So we're not just randomly order, spend. Look at what we've got in our portfolio. How can we reuse? How can we spend in a much more proficient way here? Okay. Service product transformation. That's going to deliver $388 million of savings in the roadmap here. Third area, last area, integrated operations. Okay, this is now, again, moving up that stack of $81 billion of spend. There are other areas, many other areas, where we see the ability to start leveraging common skills, common assets, common activities. Now, these in this management system here, this is business unit-led activities, business unit-led. And again, they are looking at where we can start to leverage and commonality and standardize and share best practices across the board here. As we're moving into this space, we're finding that more and more discipline change management becomes a very, very important differentiator here. Again, we have eight of these initiatives. By the way, underneath these specific initiatives, there are many, 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 many projects underneath them. So an example of one would be what we do with our global client centers, global client. Think of these as our briefing centers, but we're reimagining these. It's not just us briefing clients on our products. It's really us engaging with our clients in designing solutions. Very collaborative approach here. Now, this is one of those revenue productivity initiatives that Mark referenced here. Clearly, we're looking at productivity in terms of driving the efficiency. We've looked at all of our centers around the world. We've been able to reduce the centers in the major markets by some 24%. We've actually expanded into new global GMU, global markets with new centers. But even there, we've applied more of a satellite approach, where we will have a lot of different satellite small centers, but we tap in to experts and expertise anywhere around the world, using technology to do that. Again, this is meant to enrich that client experience. When we speak to clients, we hear from them, you know, bring me those experts, bring me the expertise who knows my industry, who knows my own business, who can bring innovative solutions to me. And so now, as we are reimagining these centers, we are rethinking what we actually take and share with our clients. We are very focused on those growth market initiatives, so they see Smarter Planet in action, they see cloud in action, they see the business analytics in action. We can showcase those. And our, you know, surveys with our clients say that it's a very different experience than what we have traditionally seen and they have traditionally experienced in our briefing centers there. Lots of opportunity here, again. Again, productivity, looking at how do we continue to bring not just the denominator, but the numerator side of the equation. 73 million of benefits in the roadmap attributed to that. Okay, last chart. You saw this with Mark's chart as well. Let me just make a few additional points here. I always say, I'm a mathematician, productivity has a numerator and a denominator, right? Revenue per unit cost, unit expense. And you can only take the denominator to zero. The numerator is infinite. So it's how do we really create a virtuous circle, if you will, of growth? It's looking at where do we drive productivity, cost efficiency, and then how do we shift some of that dollar, 60% in our model here, that gets shifted to high-value growth and innovation initiatives and the rest of the bottom line. Productivity is the fuel for innovation and growth. We truly believe that. And at the same time, we're looking at how do we make it simpler for IBMers to be able to engage more with our clients, which is so critical for that client experience and revenue growth. And again, the proven governance model that, again, clients have said to us is a differentiator here. It's, you know, it just doesn't happen. You've got to put the rigor in it, have the right people assigned to it, and relentlessly drive continuous transformation.